praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, in my message this morning, I talked a little bit about when Jesus had fallen on the ground and was praying, and how that he prayed, "Lord, let this hour pass from me. Don't make me drink this cup." And what he did was he totally put it in his Father's hand whether or not he would have to die. He said that he didn't want to go through this, but not my will, but thy will be done. So, and I said at that moment, I believe it was that moment that it was recorded in heaven, "For God so loved the world, me and you, that he gave his only begotten Son." Because at that moment, it was totally left up to the Father what would happen to that Son, and he gave him for me and you. Amen. How many has John 3:16 memorized? All right, let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 3, and verse number 16. If you need to, if you don't, that's okay. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. Well, that's talking about a lot of love, isn't it? Amen. Well, I want to take for a title tonight, if it'd be all right to take a title tonight, the other John 3:16. That's what I want to preach about tonight, is the other John 3:16. That is the epistle, the first epistle of John, chapter number 3, verse number 16. 1 John 3:16. All right, let's preach tonight about the other John 3:16, which says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God." So it's talking about the first John 3:16 that we already read. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and showeth up the mask of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." All right, amen. I want to preach tonight on the other John 3:16. All right, help me pray. For your grace, Lord, for the ability, Lord, to stand here and preach. I give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to give me the right spirit, give me the right words to say, Lord. Move in our altar service, Lord. Have your way with this preaching tonight, I pray, in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
And then everybody else said amen.
Amen.
All right. And then everybody together, both groups said amen.
Amen.
All right. All right. Well, I remember back in, oh, I don't remember what grade, but back when I was in school, and without me telling you, you probably have already got it figured out, but just in case, I'll tell you, I was just so smart. So anyway, the teacher went up to the blackboard, and she made a dot, and then she drew a line, and she said, "Does anybody know what you call that?" So being the smart one, and she said, "Doug." And I said, "That's a line." Well, let me tell you this. She drew the dot and drew the line. And then at the end of the line, she drew another dot. And I said, "That's a line." She said, "No, that's not a line." I said, "Yes, it's a line. Dots on each end, but it's still a line." And she said, "Let me give you the definition of a line. A line is infinitive. It never ends. That line has a stopping point because I put a dot on the end of it. So that is what we call a line segment. A real line doesn't have an end. It never ends. A true line." Well, that was a new one on me. Well, as a child, my dad used to work second shift, and so I made a real habit of it, of getting up out of the bed, and I'd go in there and lay with my mom in her bed sometimes, and I'd say, Mom, what happens after we go to heaven? How long are we going to be there? Same old thing all the time. She'd say, well, honey, heaven is for eternity. And then I would always say, okay, then what? And she would say, honey, it's for eternity. And I would say, okay, then when eternity's over, then where do we go? And she would say, eternity is never over. So that's kind of like a true line, no ending. Well, let me tell you something, friend. I could stand here and I could use the biggest words. I could give you the definition out of the dictionaries. I could just talk here for 2 or 3 hours describing to you what the love of God is. But there's no way that I could ever tell you what the love of God is. And let me tell you, while I've been preaching a little bit this week about things I don't agree with, well, let me tell you, there's this doctrine, this movement, which where I pastored at in Illinois was very near the capital of it. A matter of fact, within a 45-minute drive of my church at Jonesboro, there was 13 what is called UPC, United Pentecostal Churches, which preach oneness, Jesus only, as we call them. 45 minutes from my church, 13 of those churches there. So there was all kinds of people all around us that believed in this oneness doctrine. Well, let me tell you, I prayed very, very much one time because I had some friends that had left the Trinity and went oneness, and I prayed and I was trying to find out. Now, Lord, here's the scriptures they're giving me. If this isn't right, if Brother Miller is right, then show me why. And one night, he woke me up and spoke to my heart and explained it to me. And let me explain it to you. The love of God is a love that none of us can love as much as God loved us. For an example, let me say, my little boy is not here tonight. He's with my mom. But if a man comes in here with a gun and he says, all right, somebody here is going to die. Well, I would be the first one to say, don't kill none of them. Just take me. Just shoot me. Let them live. Shoot me. Because I love you enough to die instead of you dying. But you know what? As much as I love all of you, there is not a one of you that if they came and pointed the gun in your head and said, okay, there's only one way I won't kill this person. Let me kill that little boy right there. That I would volunteer to let my son be killed instead of you. I have never loved anybody that much. Well, that was how much that God loved us. Amen. And let me tell you, the biggest insult that we could give God, now, just imagine. So, I am willing to die for you if someone come in here with a gun. And you say, well, thank you, brother, for being willing to do that. Well, you're welcome. But what if someone came in here with that gun and I allowed them to kill my son for you? I gave my son's life for you. And then you turned around and said, thanks a lot, Brother Doug, for being willing to die for us. Now, wait a minute. What about my son that I let die for you? I would take that as an insult. And then for people to say, well, Brother Doug, you didn't let your son die for us. You died for us. No, wait a minute. I let my son die for you. That is wonderful love. Amen. So, the oneness, Jesus only, oneness movement insults God every day because they deny that God loved them so much that he gave his only begotten son for their sins. That is an insult to God. Amen. That is a terrible insult to God. Somebody said amen. All right. Well, now, this love that I'm talking about is so great that I could never stand here and describe it to you and tell you how great that it is. I mean, I could do my best and I could use every big word I could think of, but I would never even come close to describing to you how great this love is. But I want you to notice in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 16, he said, hereby perceive we the love of God. Now, perceiving the love of God is not necessarily being able to describe the love of God or be able to give you a good definition of the love of God, but perceiving the love of God is being able to understand how much that God loves you. Amen? Now, I want you to notice that and take note of that. It does not say, hereby we can tell you how much God, when you can tell someone how much God loves you. No, it says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Well, I can stand here and do my best to tell you how much that God loves you. But listen, friend, I will never be able to describe it to its fullest, but you can experience the love of God. And when you experience the love of God, friend, that will make the difference. And when you experience the love of God, when you understand how much that God loved you, then he went on to say that he laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life for us. When we understand what a great thing that was, God gave his only begotten Son. His Son laid down his life for us. When we can understand that, when we can perceive what great love that is, then it says, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren.
Right.
Listen, friend, St. John 3:16 talks to us about how much that he loved us, more than what we could ever do any better describing than that one scripture there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That tells me the love of God better than anything else that I could tell you. He loved you so much he gave his only begotten Son. How many here has sons? Anybody here besides me have a son? Then you know that that is wonderful, tremendous love. That love goes with that line with the dots on it, with a dot on one end and no dot on the other end, never ends. That is love beyond what my little language could ever describe to you. When you can experience such great love, and when that love is in you because you have accepted the love of God and accepted his Son, and then you can understand how much that he loves you, then there is another John 3:16, the book of 1 John chapter 3, verse number 16, which simply talks about then how much that we ought to love each other. All right? So St. John 3:16 is telling us how much that God loved us. 1 John 3:16 is starting off a little phrase here of a few scriptures telling us how much we ought to love each other. Amen. And let me tell you something, friend. You ought to love your brethren. You ought to love each other enough that you would be willing to lay down your life for each other. And then it talks about seeing your brother in need, shutting up your bowels of compassion. Then how can you say the love of God is in you? Well, you know, me and my wife, since we've been married, we've always done our best to support missionaries and help different people, and always do our best in the offerings. And not only that, but we also started a little mission work on our own as far as deciding, okay, we're going to send this one this much and that one this much every month beyond our tithes. And we have, well, I pastored for 3 years, and sitting down figuring out with a calculator one time, I gave over 30%, which 10% is tithing. I gave over 30% of all of my income for those 3 years into the ministry and the work of God, because I believe in not only paying your tithes, but not shutting up your bowels of compassion when your brother is in need. Well, so how can you say then that you understand the love of God if you shut up your bowels of compassion? Well, let me say this, friend. When you can perceive that God loved you so much, he gave his only begotten Son, and the Son then loved you so much, he freely laid down his life for you, then you ought to be able to love each other enough to refuse to shut up the bowels of compassion but want to help each other in every way you can. Amen? Now, with that vows of compassion, yes, I believe that includes financially. Sure. Oh, yeah. Hey, Lord, if you feel like helping somebody with a few groceries or whatever, sure, help them financially. But how about other things that sometimes people need? You know, one of the things that I have needed many times in my life, and most of the time, good brothers came through for me. Sometimes someone didn't obey the Lord. But there have been times that I have been depressed or just bothered or felt a lot of pressure or whatever. And you know what? All I really needed was somebody to come up to me and hug my neck and say, "Brother, I just want you to know I love you." Sometimes that would be worth more to me than if that brother would hand me a brand new, crisp $100 bill. Because I didn't need the $100 bill. I just needed to hear somebody say, "Brother, I love you." Amen? Now, as pastor of the church, yes, I did live by the gospel and depend on people to give to me. So, to say I didn't need it really wouldn't be the right way to say it. But there was times that it was more than just green bills of money that I needed. I needed somebody in my church that I was living 7 hours from home from, that I was living in a little bitty parsonage, and I was doing my best, living my life to meet their needs. I just needed to hear somebody come up to me and say, "Brother Doug, I just want you to know I got confidence in you. You're doing a good job." Oh, friend, there was sometimes I would get done preaching, and I did the same thing that Brother Collins does every night. I would always go back and stand at the back door so I could shake hands with them as they left. And there was sometimes that I practically ran back at that door because I wanted so bad for somebody to come by and say, "Brother Doug, that was good preaching tonight. I got confidence in you. You helped me. Thank you, brother." Because I just needed to hear somebody tell me that they loved me, that they had confidence in me, that I was helping them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let me just throw this in here tonight. Now, I have no idea how much Brother Collins gets a week as far as salary and so forth, but I'm sure that the Lord needs to bless him more than that. But you know what? So, you don't shut up your bowels of compassion with the money for Brother Collins, but listen to me. There have been plenty of times that me and Brother Collins has never talked about this, but I guarantee it, that he has stood back there at that door and wanted very badly someone to come by and tell him, "Brother Collins, I love you. You're doing a good job. Thank you, Brother Collins. That was good preaching tonight, Brother Collins. Thank you. I love you. I got confidence in you." Because, friend, let me tell you something. Yeah, pastoring, preaching has, you know, a little bit of, oh, I don't know, praise, I guess you could say, from different people bragging on people in a microphone behind a desk or whatever. All right, Brother Collins is a wonderful man. He's a good pastor. All right, now here he comes. Well, you know, yeah, I appreciate that too. But that don't mean near as much as somebody who is not getting any attention to look me in the eyes and say, "Brother Doug, I love you. You're doing a good job. Thank you." That means so much more. So friend, don't ever shut up your bowels of compassion. Tell people that you love them. Show people that you love them. And be good to people. So, yes, I've got faults. Sure, I've made some mistakes. Hey, in the 3 years I pastored, I could give you a great big long list of things that if I had to do it all over again, I'd have done it this way and not that way. But hindsight, they say, is 20/20. And I thought at the time, hey, that's what to do. Hey, I'll just do it this way. And now I look back and I think, man, if I'd done it that way, it'd been so much better. Well, I understand that. I am nowhere near perfect in my decisions and so forth, and I understand that. Well, let me tell you something, friend. Either are you. Well, I always done my best, you know, and sometimes my best just wasn't good enough, but I done my best to make the right decisions and done my best to be good to everybody. But you know what I needed sometimes? I needed people's forgiveness. I needed people to understand that, yeah, I was just doing my best. I was just a person. And maybe I didn't do it just the perfect right way. But I did my best, and I needed every now and then, and there were situations which I won't get into because this is on tape, but if it wasn't, I'd probably give you a little bit more about it. There was times that, yes, I done things that I wish I'd have handled in a different way, but, you know, it's too late. And there was times that I just needed to hear somebody say, "Brother Doug, I just want you to know I'm still for you." Because I had him standing in line to tell me, "Brother Doug, that was dumb. Brother Doug, what'd you do that for? Brother Doug, did I understand you right? Brother Doug, what did you mean? Hey, Brother Doug." They were standing in line for that. I just needed to hear somebody say, "Brother Doug, I understand. I love you. You're doing a good job." Amen. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you, friend, don't shut up your bowels of compassion. And I don't know, Brother Richard teaches the Bible class. I don't know who all the Sunday school teachers are and who all the board members are and all of the officers at the church and so forth. I don't know. I have no idea. But let me tell you something, friend. They are not always going to do everything that suits you just like the way you think it ought to have been done. Amen? That just ain't going to happen. Sometimes they're going to do what they see is right at the time, that they think they're doing the best that can be done, and you are going to think, "Hey, wait a minute, why didn't they do it this way?" Well, maybe you're right. Maybe it would have been better to have done it the way that you think and not the way that they thought. But what we need to do is to love each other so much that we would be willing to lay down our lives for each other. Amen? Now, what in the world kind of problem would be so great that you would have to bawl someone out over, pick up the telephone and talk bad about somebody over, or leave the church over, or do something else that's so foolish, it's unbelievable over, that would be greater than laying down your life for the brethren? What in the world would be so great that you would say, "Yeah, I'd rather die than have that happen"? My goodness, friend, the Bible said to love your brethren enough that you would be willing to lay down your life for them. Amen. And then don't shut up the bowels of compassion. Amen. I am talking about not just how much God loves you, but how much you ought to love each other. Now, then I want you to notice that the Bible goes on to say, "My little children," verse number 18, "let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In other words, do more than just say, "I love you." Amen? Now listen, friend, I've never been to a divorce court, but I can just imagine that it's probably happened a million times in America. In divorce court, the one that filed the divorce and the husband and wife are splitting up, I guarantee you, in divorce courts all over the United States, that "I still love you" has been said a million times. Don't just love in word and in tongue. Listen, friend, I hope that you love me enough to tell me that you love me. But listen, friend, it's going to take more than telling me that you love me for me to be truly convinced that you love me. I appreciate when someone says, "I love you, brother." But listen, love in deed and in truth. Amen. So we now have, unfortunately, we have preachers who was called of God and who accepted their calling and started preaching. I believe that some of them the Lord really, really used. Every charismatic and every worldly preacher and every guy that I don't agree with, do I think he was never saved and couldn't have been saved or wouldn't be that way? Oh, no. Oh, no, friend. Sure, there were some of them that was hypocrites from the beginning. But I believe many of them, and I know a few personally, I believe was saved. I've heard them preach and cried and shouted, and I loved their preaching. I have seen them in action. I believe they really had it. But then the love that they had, according to 1 John, that they should have loved each other enough to lay down their lives for their brethren and love each other in word and truth. There was one little problem. They also loved money. And the love of money, not money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. So, and also, I'll just throw this in too. Some, sure, well, you know, I could name some too, and maybe you can think of a few too, that didn't get rich when they went to whatever foolishness that they're in. Maybe they didn't get rich, but it's more than just the love of money. There is also this thing of loving prestige, loving attention, loving praise. Now, I have met people before that I think that fell and turned their back on God and started foolishness because they loved the money that it brought to them. But I also have met a few and know a few that have turned their back on God and have gone into some foolishness because they loved the prestige. And they loved the pats on the backs. They loved all the bragging. And they loved the ideal that people was going to follow them. Now, friend, that is also evil. Amen. You ought to love each other, that you are willing to lay down your life for each other, not just in word and in tongue, but you ought to love each other in deed and in truth. All right. Well, friend, when the Lord really saves you, and you get to understand how much that the Lord loves you, and you can suddenly perceive what the love of God is, you may not be able to convince everybody around you. I mean, if we could just talk about the love of God so good that we could convince someone, then we wouldn't have any sinners today, would we? Oh, we'd just get out there on the street and say, hey, let me tell you about the love of God, and tell people, and then people would get saved if they could understand how great the love of God is. But we can't just describe it good enough. But when we can perceive it, when we can understand how much that God loved us, then, friend, we will have a desire to love in deed and in truth, yes, our brethren. So let me tell you, friend, now, I haven't preached hard this week at all, I don't think, concerning naming things and so forth, as far as I know, unless I just forgot. I don't think I have. But let me tell you something, friend. What good would it do for me to tell you, hey, yeah, there ain't nothing wrong with that, don't worry about it? And it is a sin. Do I not love you so much? And I would consider that to be perhaps even up there with hatred, that I would tell you that sin is okay.
That's right.
And allow you to go to hell,
right,
instead of telling you the truth. This other John 3:16 tells us that we need to love each other in truth. In other words, if we really love each other, we're not going to lie to each other. We're going to give each other the truth. Amen? Now, my wife has a little habit that she likes to do. Probably some of you other sisters also like to do this to your husband. Just before she leaves to go somewhere, she'll say, Doug, do I look okay? Well, let me tell you, I do love her, believe me. And most of the time, I don't even look. I say, yeah, you look fine. But every now and then, she'll say, oh, you didn't even look at me. And so I'll look at her. And 99% of the time, she looks fine. I'll say, honey, you look good. Go ahead. Go on. Yeah, you're fine. But there have been times I looked at her and thought, oh, my goodness. Does she know her hair looks that way? And so, because I love her enough, I didn't lie to her, but I'd say, honey, your hair just doesn't look right. Well, that is love. That I did not want her to go out and be embarrassed and people look at her and think, doesn't she know how to comb her hair? What's wrong with her? That I love her enough to tell her the truth. And my wife said, amen. You probably didn't hear her say amen, did you? I didn't think so. All right, well, I love her enough to tell her the truth. Well, let me tell you something, friend. Because I perceive the love of God, I love you enough to do more than to say, I love you all. I love you enough that when the opportunity comes, I'm going to tell you the truth, even if it hurts you. Even if you say, but brother, that hurts my feelings, brother. Yeah, but brother, I do this, I do that. Yeah, but brethren, that's not the way I believe. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Amen. And I want to tell you something, friend. I've got to hear Brother Collins preach 2.5 times, I guess, or less than a half tonight, this week. I've got to hear him preach some in the prayer services. And I want you to know something. I can say with my mouth, I love Brother Collins. But I want to tell you something, friend. If Brother Collins stands behind this desk and refuses to tell you the truth, and refuses to preach to you the Word of God in its entirety, and refuses to preach to you the truth, instead, he doesn't want to hurt your feelings. He doesn't want to get you disturbed. So he'll tell you, that's all right, that's not all right, this is all right, this is all right. And just so he doesn't cross any lines and hurt anybody, get anybody upset at him, then he doesn't really love you. If Brother Collins loves you, he may know that somebody is getting very angry at him, but he will stand there and tell them the truth. That is love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let me just say this real quickly. It's on tape, so I don't want to say too much. But in my family, I have one of my sisters who no longer lives the way that she grew up to live, and has gotten into some things that I believe is a sin. And I know that my mom meant the best. She's a wonderful person. She's a holiness person. But my mom told me one day, Doug, don't say anything else about that. I said, Mom, I can look at her and tell that she does that. Yeah, but don't say anything else to her about it, Doug. You're just making her mad. But you know what I decided? That is my sister. I love her too much to